Inspiration. T is for trust. Inspiration inspires trust. Trust is the willingness to be aware of inspiration, listen to its guidance, and follow because you know it will inevitably lead to peace. As long as we are feeling guilty and/or seeing guilt in another, there can be no trust in relationships. Trust heals guilt. The cubicle self-mind version of trust is very shaky because it only remains intact as long as someone else is doing life the way we think they should be doing it. So trust, according to the cubicle self, is based in behaviors. The cubicle self-mind doesn't really care what anyone is thinking. It just looks to behavior that appears trustworthy. This could be called superstition. Superstition is believing that certain behaviors, forms, or physical scenarios can call forth specific outcomes, like breaking a mirror brings 7 years of bad luck, or a bride wearing something borrowed, something blue, something old, something new for good luck. The cubicle self places its trust in superstition, relying on external behaviors and circumstances to bring on a predicted outcome. Appearances. To the cubicle self, if someone appears similar to us, we are more likely to trust. If someone appears different to us, we are more likely not to trust. The tricky part here is that someone may appear similar to us, same values, priorities, etc., but it turns out that behind closed doors, they remove the mask, and out comes another appearance. So the cubicle self-mind is never truly trustworthy or trusting, for its trust is based on appearances. And appearances are simply masks. Masks are meant to hide the lack of trust in ourselves, others, and inspiration. Cubicle trust is very dependent on whether or not someone meets our standard of behavior. We may have spent our life trusting someone while they appeared to be doing all the right things. Then one day they appear to do a wrong thing, and we slam down the gavel with a verdict of guilty. Once guilt is decided, untrustworthiness is not far behind, and with distrust comes suspiciousness. Suspicious of any behaviors and/or circumstances that are unlike itself. For in being unlike itself, the cubicle self feels unsafe. Being suspicious, the cubicle self must be always defensive, on guard, or on the offensive. Inherent in being on guard or feeling offended is the readiness to attack. So, what do we have here in the cubicle self kitchen? Recipe for cubicle trust. Have plenty of guilt on hand at all times, for this is the main ingredient for all cubicle self-mind recipes. List of ingredients. Start with guilt. Thicken until you can cut it with a knife. Add a touch of superstition. To cut the pain of the guilt, put a knife under your cubicle heart. A dash of appearances. Ground one mask of trust. A sprinkle of suspicion. Beware of cubicle spices that smell different from you, for they might come from a bad batch. Pour in plenty of defensiveness by putting the knife in your apron pocket, as you will be needing it for attack. Pour all ingredients into a blender and press pulverize. Pour into little cubicle trays and freeze. Serve separately. Add sprinkles of jealousy or a hint of niceness to taste. There you have it. Cubicle self-trust. I wouldn't eat that if you paid me. But we do. Yes, we do. In fact, this recipe is the basis for most of our cubicle relationships. And we wonder why our relationships are unfulfilling, unhappy, and failing. What is trust through the eyes of our inspiring self-heart-mind? The inspired self clearly recognizes the cubicle self and knows the agony of cubicle trust, for it is not trust at all. The inspired self does not fault the cubicle self, for it knows that its whole little thought system is based on faulty thinking, being the result of faulty programming, being that it programmed itself. Hence, inspiration is here to be truly helpful. How? Inspiration releases the cubicle self heart from all of its secrets, secrets it holds dear in fear, which are not really secrets at all, because all secrets are built upon the little thought of, I am alone and separate. The thought from which the cubicle self was made. The thought which we are all thinking, consciously, subconsciously, or unconsciously. You see, a secret appears to be a private thought, or thoughts that we think only we alone know, and if anyone were to find out, we would be found out. And that would be the end of the self we show the world, and life as we know it. In inspiration, there are no private secrets, because all seeming secrets are built upon a cubicle foundation of the one little thought of I am alone and separate, which is the common thought of the cubicle self. We are all thinking the same little common thought, so it is no secret at all. The little thought believes in the strange idea we can be separate from inspiration. Obviously, this is impossible. Though we may appear to be separate, it is simply an appearance. A belief that a sun ray can live separately from its sun, that the shining coming forth from a light could shine without the light, is a belief that developed from the experience of aloneness and separation. So, inspiration frees us from the little thought, which frees us from the cubicle self, which frees us from cubicle trust. What is our part? Giving the little thought and all of its successors to inspiration for release. You see, when we think we are keeping secrets or that another is keeping secrets, there can only be cubicle trust or really distrust. However, when we see that any seeming secrets that the cubicle self may keep are meaningless, because they are from the meaningless little thought that we can be separate from inspiration, we become aware of the meaningful in the place of the meaninglessness. And it is upon the meaningful that real trust is cultivated and experienced. Meaninglessness is inherently lacking in trust, for it is lacking in meaning. When we see the meaningful, we automatically trust because it resonates within us as real. Now we are getting somewhere. We are getting to the heart of one-to-one truly helpful relationships. Trust the meaningful. All true help rests on the meaningful. No one is seeking meaningless help, right? We are seeking meaningful help. Help that brings about a change in how we see ourselves and one another, a way of seeing that brings peace in heart and mind. Practice, recipe for experiencing the meaningful. Main ingredient, willingness. Have plenty on hand to be used little by little, moment to moment, as it is the basis for meaningless cubicle guilt to be replaced by meaningful, inspired innocence. Call upon and connect with inspiration as the source of all meaning, being present with your breath, a word, phrase, gesture, image, movement, or sound may help you to connect. Give your secrets over to the bringer of meaning, inspiration. Be patient, as the cubicle self is a dying breed, but it doesn't give up without a fight. Inspiration mixes your willingness, your secrets, and the little thought of aloneness until all is completely dissolved. Let the meaningful rise in stillness in place of the meaninglessness. Serve the meaningful to all. Be willing to experience inspired trust in all of your relationships. Give thanks. You have accepted your invitation to trust. P.S. This is not the trust we may have learned growing up in the cubicle, but it is the trust that sets the table for the feast of love, a feast of meaningfulness that we can experience in the world, though it is not of the world. It is the trust that we must come to experience if we are to be truly helpful.